But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice. Beautiful, what's your hurry? Listen to the fireplace roar. Beautiful, please don't hurry. Put some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there.
No News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And this is Tuesday. I don't know what day it is with the holidays, but I think it's Tuesday because Mike Wiggins is here, and he is the host of The Garden Line. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And Meg, it's cold outside.
What the? Was it not 70 this weekend? What is happening?
You talk about a roller coaster
holy
of weather.
Moly, holy moly. I mean, goodness. Really, this is crazy. So, yeah, I'm bundled up. I got my big sweater on and my warm muckluck boots on this morning.
You saw me walk in here with a heavy jacket, sweater.
We look like Nanook of the North in the studio here.
I can't handle this, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm definitely a Floridian now. It's official. And people in the north, the ones that come down here now, a lot of snowbirds are already coming into town, and they're probably laughing at all of us as they
would love this.
Yeah, this is like shorts weather.
Exactly.
Anyway,
it'll pass. We're
this too shall pass, they say.
Cold again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gradually warm up. I don't know when we're going to get back to those 70s again.
I don't know.
That would be nice, and it's January, so we may not be able to.
Well, Happy New Year. Great to see you. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, it was fabulous. It was just fabulous. All of our grandchildren were here.
How many grandchildren do you have, Mike?
10.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yes. And
wow.
And I've got them at, okay, here we go. let me see if I can get this straight.
Okay.
Are you ready? I've got them at 2 at Mississippi State. 2 at Florida State, 1 a graduate from Florida, 1 a law school in Florida.
Wow.
1 at Catholic High School, and 1 at Sacred Heart.
My goodness. Well, you got the colleges down. You probably got their names right, or no?
Names? Are you kidding me? I think I've got them, but they're special, and it was really fun.
Oh, that's really great. Well, I had a chance to meet my great nephew.
Oh, that's special.
And he was only 5 weeks old.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a long time since I've held a little baby.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. You just forget. You forget.
Right. We have no more little ones.
Yeah, that's been a long time.
It's been a long time since they had little ones. And I kind of miss that.
Yeah.
Because they really are cool.
Yeah.
But I saw your picture of the baby.
Oh, my goodness. So cute.
You looked pretty happy holding that baby.
I know. I was just being mean. It was like
that makes you what? A
great aunt.
Great aunt?
Yeah, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Everybody got
married really young. I'm going to lie.
I don't know how you do the math on that.
I don't even know. When you start putting more greats in, it starts to lose its luster. But anyway.
I hear you.
But it was nice. It's nice to be with family. It's nice to get away a little bit. And I was grateful to John, who kind of covered for me while I was out, and PJ and everybody. So thank
Very
you guys
good.
For that.
Well,
and
good.
So we're back and in full swing this week. So
here we go.
Here we go.
We're back in the gardening business.
So tell me now.
Kinda.
Well, my first thing was
30 degrees.
I thought of you as I was running my plants in yesterday.
Right.
So tell me everything we need to know about this kind of back and forth weather and what we can do for our plants and our gardens.
Well, you know, it's really interesting you would say that. I thought maybe today, if we had time, and hopefully we'll get a lot of texts and questions and we can go that direction. But if people are sitting around just drinking a little bit of eggnog and not calling in today, that's okay, because I thought what we would talk about is cold weather activities.
Okay.
In other words, if you're a gardener, what do you want to do, what do you need to do in January?
I think that's a great idea.
I do too. I think it'll be fun to talk about, because there really are a lot of chores. Some of them are no-brainers. I mean, it's so simple, but always good to kind of refresh our memory on things to do, because it kind of sets things up for the spring.
Right.
Which is only 2 months away.
It seems like a long ways away right now with that, as I'm walking around in my boots, but okay.
There's absolutely no question about it. One thing that we need to do, of course, if you went out and wrapped up all of your plants because of the freeze on last night, you need to start thinking about taking them off, because once the temperatures are out of freezing range, out of the 30s, let's say into the 40s, you need to take them off. Because if you have put a cover, say you had a camellia and you wanted to put a cover over it, if you used plastic, then what happens is once it starts warming up, and if you don't get it off, then it acts like a miniature greenhouse and can damage the plant.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to go ahead and take it off once
at what temperature would you say?
Well, I think, you know, you just need to be out of a freezing range, quite frankly, but to be safe, because you never know.
Right.
You know, I would certainly take it off until we got into, you know, the high 30s.
Is it going down again tonight? I have to look at
the weather. I think tonight we get down into the low
20s.
Maybe the 20s. Oh, my goodness. But, yes, so just don't want to leave it on for a prolonged period of time because it really can do more damage than good. And so, but be ready, because going into January and February, we're going to have this type of weather. You know, we're going to get into the 50s and 60s, and boom, here we go back into the 20s. So have everything ready. And, you know, one thing we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, Meg, is doing the lollipop.
I was just going to ask you about that.
I'm repeating myself when we say that, but it is important that if you have a tree, single trunk tree, let's say 5 feet high, let's just say that, and you wrap that blanket around the top and, say, get a little duct tape and tie it off with the exposed trunk, that's not doing as much good as if you put your cover over the top and let it come all the way to the ground.
Like a shower curtain, let it hang?
Yeah, let it hang, and then put some bricks or rocks or whatever to anchor it down, because obviously with this cold, you get wind. I mean, like yesterday when we had that wind. So that's the best way to do it, and you don't want to do it with just that top covering, because that's what they call the lollipop effect, and we have talked about that a lot. One thing you also need to do is once this cold weather leaves us, I'm talking about below freezing, you need a water. Mm. Water real good. Now, your neighbors are probably going to think you're crazy out there when it's 40 degrees, you're out there watering the lawn. But it's a good idea to do it, and the plants also. And also remember that your container plants are going to be affected more by the cold than those in the ground. In the ground, they have a little factor of heat there. But remember, in a container, you've got the cold weather all the way around the root system. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be very careful with that. Now, just from a personal standpoint, I have hibiscus and mandevilla that I really, really have enjoyed. But the foliage on them are just absolutely, just affected by this cold. And I just don't think they're going to make it. Now, they might make it if I cut it back and nurture it, but it may be time to let them go and buy new ones next year.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question or comment for Mike about gardening, now's the time to text it in, 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to The Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins, on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. And we've got a text in here from Marcus, who we had talked to last week. You may not remember. He says, an update on my ryegrass in Perdido Key that I texted for advice on last week. He says, I applied another round of seed and watered. Oh, okay. I applied another round of seed and watered. And it is really starting to thicken up now.
That's
so
great.
Thanks, Mike.
That's good. Oh, that's great news.
And he said the seed bag emphasized, quote, keeping damp and overwatering, but Mr. Wiggins' advice got my yard looking right.
Oh,
thanks, Marcus.
Thank you for that. We really appreciate it. Yeah, that ryegrass, when we talked to him last week, it was spotty.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't coming up like it should.
Right.
And we recommended that he just, you know, overseed some of that area again. I'm so glad that's working for you. Now, Marcus, you got to get your lawnmower back out there.
Oh.
That's the only real disadvantage to putting out ryegrass. And, of course, a lot of people will say, oh, if you put ryegrass, if you overseed your St. Augustine grass or your centipede grass,
mm-hmm.
it'll do damage
right.
to your good grass. And that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. Matter of fact, many of the experts will tell you that it adds a little nutrition to your yard. Not a lot to make a huge difference, but it's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so ryegrass is a good idea. I think I told you that when I was years and years ago over in East Hill, there was a yard. It was zoysia back then. Before zoysia became really popular, of course they mowed it low like you do with zoysia grass. But they would write Happy New Year in their yard with ryegrass. They just would spell it out, and it just looks so cool.
Well, Marcus just responding. He says, I've got a healthy teen to do the mowing.
All right. Now you're talking.
Now he's
That's
talking.
The way to do it.
I love when we hear back from listeners after you give advice when it works out. So thanks so much for following up us.
And Marcus, if they run out of things to do, I know somebody that...
You a couple of teenagers, okay.
Let me know.
Okay, I got another text in, Mike, and this one's pretty quick little question. Plants for cemetery. That's a good question.
Well...
Do you want to think about that? We'll get into our research department?
No. What you got to figure out at the cemetery, one, you've got to look at its full sun, for the most part. That's for sure. And then you need to check on that particular cemetery, and I'm serious about this, what their watering situation is. Do they have a sprinkler system that comes on so you can really plant any of our sun-loving landscaping plants? I would think you'd want to make it kind of low. You may want to consider some of the ornamental grasses, like muley grass, which will take a little less water. And then, of course, and I'm sure you do this, just keep an eye on it and see what's happening. See if it's being watered enough.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you're going to have to go out and do that. But then, like as I say, you can buy our plants, some plants that take less water than other. I really like a low-mounding dwarf yaupon.
Mm.
That's the one with the name that you really like, Meg. That's the Ilex vomitoria.
Remember that one? That's right.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it is a great full sun, low maintenance plant. And it's 12 months out of the year. It looks good. It mounds up. You can keep it pruned if you want to, but it doesn't take that much pruning just if you want to keep it mounded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great plant. So if I was looking for plants for the cemetery, if there is a question about how much they're watering it, look into the dwarf yaupon are some of the ornamental grasses, like muley grass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would recommend.
Are there any blooming plants that would work for a cemetery site?
Oh, I think so. There's a whole lot of annuals that you can plant. We've got our whole list. Periwinkle would be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Lantana would be good. Now, lantana's going to freeze back, but it'll come back every year. Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Some of sun patients, those are great.
Those would be pretty.
But those are annuals, and mm-hmm. you're going to have to replace them every year. And in the fall, of course, you can put pansies and mums mm-hmm. and that type of thing. So, yes, there's a lot of blooming plants. But quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, it really depends. Your success depends on the maintenance, specifically the watering that you're getting from the cemetery folks.
Gotcha. Okay. 850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Mike, you can text it in. I have another listener question in. If unable to cover, looks like an 8-foot fruit. Sorry, I can't say it. An 8-foot fruit tree. Say that three times fast.
Not me.
Do you recommend heat lamps? And if so, more than one lamp per tree? This is from Carolyn, and she says, I love your program. It's the best, with a big smiley face.
That's very nice. Depends on what kind of tree it is. If we're talking citrus, one that is tender and is affected by the cold, which you get into the 20s, then you do have the chance of some damage with some of your citrus. I think one of those heat lamps would be plenty. And, of course, go back to what we talked about earlier. Cover the whole plant, if you can, and then put that light in there. And that adds heat. And so I think you're, that would work.
Okay.
I'd just put one.
Just one.
I would just put one. And it would be interesting to know exactly what kind of tree it is. Of course, all your fruit trees, your peaches, plums, pears, apples.
Oh, she just texted in. Carolyn just said it's a Satsuma tree.
Okay. Now we're talking about a citrus. So, exactly. So, no, I think that heat lamp would be good. Now, Satsumas will do better in the cold in Northwest Florida than, say, some of your other citrus.
Like a lemon or a grapefruit or orange.
Yeah, some of those. So you may not have any problems with the cold we just had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got down to, I want to say 30.
30-something, I think.
Yeah, the wind chill was a little more.
North of here, I think they got into some freezing.
Exactly. And that brings up another thing, too. If you're planting a Satsuma, for example, remember we've talked about microclimates over the last couple of weeks where we want to plant on the south side of a house. You'd like to plant next to driveways because that gives heat, next to the street. And remember the fun one that we had never thought about was plant near your swimming pool because that sends out heat, if you will. And so that helps your citrus or whatever tender plants you might have.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back. 850-437-1620. Text in your questions and we've got a lot coming in, Mike, so we'll get to them as quick as we can.
Wonderful.
You're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, and we've been talking about heat lamps for your trees and plants during this cold weather. Got another question about that, Mike. With regards to the lamps for heat, should the bulb face up into the tree or down towards the ground? And that's from Mike.
Well, that's a great question. I'm just sort of going to knee-jerk this one.
Okay.
And I think I'm right. Maybe a lot of our citrus growers out there could give us some advice on that. But I would say let it point up into the foliage. I think that would be the right way to do it. But keep in mind now, on a Satsuma, for example, if you're going down to 32 degrees and you've got that nice cover on it like we've talked about, that may be enough. Now, we get down to 20 and you do the lamp. Mm-hmm. I think letting
and
it go.
And the teens.
And the teens. Oh, yes. Let that lamp go up into from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would probably be the way to do it. But I'd love to hear what other people have to say about that.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm trying to envision this. So you want to keep the lamp away from the cloth.
Yeah, very,
right.
Very good.
I'm just sitting here thinking out loud, like, you don't want to start a fire.
No.
I'm just trying to think where, now I'm thinking about placement, where I'm going to put it and where the cloth's going to hang. And
absolutely. No, that's exactly right. And so, and of course, as soon as we're out of any danger of freezing, turn that light off. And
do you recommend a particular type? I mean, is it?
Not really.
Okay.
Really. I think some people just put a light bulb, you know, just string it out, you know, into a...
Because they generate heat.
Or just a light, a lamp, anything to generate some heat.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Exactly. Interesting.
Okay.
Very
well,
interesting.
We've had some great questions so
we
far,
have.
And we're just kicking off the new year here with Mike Wiggins
very
on
good.
The Garden Line. So when we come back, I've got more questions for you, Mike. So
good.
We're going to get to... If you send in a question and you haven't heard, we've got you. We're just going to get it to you in the next half hour. So we'll be back with Mike Wiggins. He is the host of The Garden Line right here on Pep Talk. Appreciate you being with us in this almost new year. We're getting close. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside.
News Radio 92.3, informative, locals, dependable. Yes, it is. It's cold outside. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins.
Who's singing it?
That, can you guess? It's not Frank.
It's not Frank?
Who else is in the Rat Pack?
I don't know.
Dean Martin.
Oh, yes.
Good old Dino.
Who's doing the female part?
It says, let me see. It doesn't say. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can find. I don't know. I have to look it up now. Doesn't have it. It just has Dean Martin.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, it's
Dean interesting. Martin was funny.
Oh, yeah, he was a character.
You ever see him on, ever see him on Johnny Carson?
Yes, yes. Well, he always looked a little slightly inebriated, didn't he?
Slightly. I should say so.
Well, I'm going to really date myself now, but I loved the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis movies when they first came out together,
yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
And then they kind of separated, but right. Those were really funny.
They were funny movies.
Oh, my gosh.
Those guys were talented.
Oh, my goodness. No kidding.
And Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes,
was
also
kind of part of that.
Oh, the Rat Pack, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were
Frank,
just...
Dean, Sammy Davis, and, oh, what's his name? I can see him. He had kind of white hair. Oh, I can't see him. I can't think of his name. All right, I'll have to get the research department on it.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we've got some more questions coming in. This is the Garden Line talking about, well, winter gardening. We're in the season, had some cold weather overnight. We're going to get some more tonight and how you can protect your garden and your plants. And we had another question that came in about something a little bit different here. This is a question from one of our listeners that says, I have St. Augustine grass in sections of my yards, but weeds have invaded! There is one weed that is woody. I heard you say atrazine in February, but what will it take to eradicate these weeds?
Well, he's absolutely right. Thanks for listening, too. Thanks for remembering that.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Atrazine is a pre-emergence that also has a little bit of post-emergence action, too. And we always like to use it, if you remember, Meg, mid-November, then do it again mid-February. Mid-February is the time of the year when that's probably the last thing you're thinking about is weed control. But if you've got to get that atrazine on that yard relatively early, because we get into March and into April and get some warmer weather, those weeds are just going to come on. And the atrazine acts as a pre-emergence to keep them, those weed seeds from germinating. So you are controlling the weeds early. Now, I would say that you, on those woody plants, you've got a little problem there. Let me just use like oak tree shoots a lot of people have in their natural areas or in their lawn. And all we've been able to recommend is just to continue to mow them down and gradually get that grass, your lawn, the St. Augustine, healthy and lush, and you'll have less of a problem with those woody plants, because you're going to find even Roundup, which is a non-selective weed killer, kills everything.
Right.
But it won't really kill woody plants.
Really?
Uh-uh. No, it really won't. It'll kill grass in a minute, but it won't kill woody plants. So either just continue to mow them down, make that St. Augustine, do everything right for your St. Augustine, fertilization, water, mowing, all that, atrazine in the proper time. And you may have less problems with that. Or manual labor. Ooh.
Okay.
That's work. That
better
is work.
To do all that now?
Well, you can. You can do it now. It's just generally most folks, everything's going dormant right now. You may need to mow your lawn one more time. It just depends on when you last did it. But, yeah, I would. You could do it now, but I think wait till spring and see what happens after you put that atrazine on.
Okay, great question. Thanks for sending that in. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel and the Garden Line. You can text in your questions at 850-437-1620. Mike, I love our listeners. We were just playing the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, and someone just texted in, Marilyn Maxwell sings with Dean Martin. That's it.
Marilyn Maxwell.
Yep, and she says, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and thank you for that.
And then our research department.
What did they say?
The five members of the Rat Pack were Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., this is one I was trying to think of, Peter Lawford, and Joey Bishop. He used to have a late night talk show, Joey Bishop.
Joey Bishop was a funny guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'd forgotten about him.
I mean, I know, me too. Yeah. Okay, we got another question for you back on the subject, back on the gardening.
Well, it's New Year.
We can kind of vary a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
This is from the person asking about the St. Augustine grass that you just talked about. When to fertilize and what kind would you recommend?
Okay, and that is a very basic question that everybody with St. Augustine should know, and many folks, if not most, do know. Here's what you do. Do not, I'm going to start out by saying, here's what you don't do. when you're putting out that atrazine, do not put it out as a weed and feed product, because the weed and feed has, in many cases, atrazine in it, but also a fertilizer. Well, if you're putting it out mid-February, that is absolutely the wrong time to put any fertilizer on. So you will put atrazine on generally with a liquid in a sprayer. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do it. But your fertilization should be later in the spring. A lot of the experts, even a lot of people with the state, will say, let's don't fertilize the lawn until May. Well, most of us, including yours truly, likes to get a little bit of a jump on it. So
right.
Probably April would be the best time to do it. And that's when we use the higher nitrogen fertilizer. For example, my favorite is a 16-0-8. 16% is nitrogen. And that will make it go. That'll get that grass growing. But you don't want to put it on too early, because what it'll do, it'll make some of those blades go up, but the roots are still kind of cold, and it'll yellow it out. So wait. And sometimes you got to hold back. But
fertilize. And we'll be talking about it, too, as we get closer,
we'll talk more about this. But point is, the first thing you do is that atrazine, but put it on independent of any fertilizer in mid-February.
Okay, very good advice. And the same listener that just asked the question said, I've moved here from North Carolina. So very different weather than North Carolina, that's for sure, coming from North Carolina to Florida.
There's no doubt about it. And, of course, we talk here in Pensacola about St. Augustine grass, centipede grass, zoysia grass, bahia grass, Bermuda grass. What we don't talk about is fescue.
Oh.
And if you're from North Carolina, a lot of folks will put out fescue seed. Well, it would be nice for it to work here, but it just gets too hot, burns it up. So from North Carolina, welcome to Pensacola.
Welcome.
Welcome. But I would certainly choose my grass from, really, I would either go with St. Augustine or zoysia. Zoysia is the grass of choice right now. That's what so many people are putting out. And one, it does so well if you've got a sunny spot. So,
and where do you find it?
Zoysia?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of our big suppliers is Werner Turf over on Creighton Road. They probably are the largest sod dealer in Northwest Florida. And they have quality stuff. But be sure to talk to them to be sure that if you're putting in zoysia, for example, that it's ready to be sodded. It's, to me, I want to put out a grass when I sod it that's already out of dormancy. And zoysia grass, that's one of the very few disadvantages. And it's a very small one. But zoysia grass in the fall will go dormant a little quicker than, say, St. Augustine. And will be a little later coming out of dormancy than other grasses in the spring. Very small, not a big time frame there. But if you're listening, pros and cons.
Right.
That's one of the few cons.
Okay. Well, great stuff. And what's great for y'all to send in those questions. I guess a lot of folks are listening. Maybe they're off today. We might have some new listeners to The Garden Line. So if you're new and you're finding some of the things we're talking about interesting, maybe you don't have a pen or pencil in hand and you want to take some notes, you can re-listen to all of the broadcasts that have ever been done on The Garden Line on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcasts. Click on either Pensacola Expert Panel or Mike has he's that good. He has his own podcast section called The Garden Line. And you can click on that and listen to all the previous episodes.
Right. It's New Year's.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve is coming up. And you don't have much to do.
If you're sitting at home.
Don't put it that way. Nobody's doing that.
Oh, no.
Nobody.
Yes, they are. So we got a nice thank you from our friend from North Carolina. So welcome. We're going to take a quick break here. If you do have a question, there's still plenty of time. 850-437-1620. We'll be back with Mike Wiggins and The Garden Line on Pep Talk. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins and Meg. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. I see Mike's got a couple lists over there for us.
I do have a couple of lists, and one list I don't know if we're going to get to today is things that we do need to pay attention to In many cases, things we need to do in January.
Okay.
When it's not really a traditional gardening month, but a lot of it is preparation.
And can you believe it's this week? January?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I did get this article I thought was kind of interesting. And the headline was Factors to Consider When Choosing Fruit Trees.
Oh.
Well, and I read that. It's very interesting. But if you look at the factors that you need to consider for fruit trees, quite frankly, they are factors that we all need to pay attention to as we get into January. So let's do one or two of them.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is to plan. Plan. Go to your grandchildren and get some graph paper. And get out in the yard so you can do it, you know, and get your distances right. And draw your beds and do some planning insofar as what you want to plant and how you want your landscaping to look in the new year. I think a lot of your real estate folks, Meg, you come on your show, would tell you that if you have really nice landscape, tailored, pruned, good grass, if you will, your home is going to be visited by more people who want to buy it, if your house is for sale.
Right.
I think it really will help you.
They talk about that a lot.
Yeah, I think that's important. So, but here are a couple of things. One, when you start picking out plants to put into your plan, if you will, climate suitability is critical. It's critical. If you've got your front yard and you want to landscape it, I always recommend that you use foundation plants such as the basics, ligustrum, Cliera japonica, the holly family, ground covers, juniper, jasmine, things that are going to look good all year long, especially if you are have a business.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have a business, especially if your business includes people coming to you, you want your property to really be landscaped nice and to look nice 12 months out of the year.
Right.
Right now, you know, a lot of things are dead. You don't want to use elephant ears.
Right.
You really don't want to lose your tropicals because right now they look horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a commercial landscape, you want it to look good 12 months out of the year. So you have to look at your plants insofar as the suitability climate-wise. If it's a plant that's susceptible to freezes, like hibiscus, mandevilla, croton, palms, some palms, not all, then if choose those for maybe your backyard. Also, insofar as those tropical plants are concerned, you might want to look around your neighborhood. In other words, if everybody has this really nice traditional landscaping and you want to put all tropicals out there that are going to die in the winter, you may want to rethink that.
Right.
You may want to kind of join the club, if you will, and landscape, kind of follow what your neighbors have done.
Okay. We've got a text that came in. This is from Mike from Pensacola. For St. Augustine, when are the times to put out the pre-emergence, and what is your preferred brand? And second question is, what is the best brush and weed killer for fence lines that last a long time? So the first question is about the St. Augustine pre-emergence.
Yes, and that is important. The date we like to go for is February 15th. Now, you know, it doesn't have to be on February 15th, but latter part of February, you want to put the pre-emergence out. I like atrazine. Fertilome makes a real good product. One of their byproducts is called High Yield. It's a whole line of products. They have atrazine. Not everybody sells that particular brand. Larry out of Pensacola Seed and Garden does. I think Werner sells it. Excuse me. Also, so yes, those are the brands are out there. Just be sure that atrazine that you buy, keep in mind any weed killer you buy, be sure that it is labeled for the grass that you've got, because you'll see sometime in the fine print it'll say do not use on St. Augustine grass.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So read the fine print.
Read the fine print. But atrazine, generally by high yield or Fertilome, is are good products.
Okay, and then the second question was, what's the best brush and weed killer for fence lines that last a long time?
Okay, and that's a good question, too, because that is the only place where you want to use a brush killer. Now, Ortho makes some. Fertilome does make some. And it's just going to call it on the label brush killer.
Oh, okay.
And you put it along simple. The fence. The thing about that is you say, okay, I'm going to put it around my fence, which is very close to a desirable flower bed.
Oh.
Well, that brush killer, in many cases, one, when it kills that brush, nothing else is going to grow for a while. And many times it'll leach to your good flowers, your good landscaping plants. So be very careful to read the instructions on any brush killer you may buy.
Okay, very good. So that's a great question. Thank you for sending that in. And we just got a nice greeting from Jake Walker, who says, Happy New Year to you and Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, Jake. So Happy New Year to you.
To you, too.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with The Garden Line on Pep Talk. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Just a couple minutes left, Mike, before the top of the hour. Anything you want to throw in there?
Well, to finish up, the climate suitability.
Yes.
If you're going to buy a fruit tree, for example, or really, quite frankly, any plant, check the zone. We are in a climate zone of, sometimes people say we're at 8, sometimes we're at 9, but if it will go into either one of those zones, that plant should do very well here in Pensacola. If you've got a low number, that means it's only going to grow up north.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a real high number, it's tropical. It's
and where do you find that?
Many times the plant tag will tell
okay.
you. And if you look it up on the internet, you say, I'm going to grow a agapanthus.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Google or somebody.
The research department.
The research department. exactly. What zone into what zone should I plant agapanthus? And he'll tell you.
Interesting.
He'll tell
okay.
you.
Very good.
Absolutely. Now, what we need to do in the next show or two is look also at some other factors. I'm just going to rattle them off here, because we'll talk about them next week. Or soil compatibility. We have acid soil, so we've got to adjust. Space and sunlight. If you've got a beautiful, shady yard, you may not want to plant lawn grass. You may want to landscape your way out of it because a lot of lawn grasses aren't going to work. Pollination requirements. Blueberries, for example, like to plant two different varieties. And a lot of your fruit trees need pollinators. So you need to know that. A lot of that can come from your local nurseryman. Somebody like Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden can say, yes, if you're going to plant this fruit tree, but you need two, or you need this as the pollinator for this tree. And so you really have to do a little research on that. Okay. And then, of course, the last one is maintenance demands. How hard do you want to work? Some plants will grow very fast, and so you may need to prune them 2, 3, 4 times a season. Some grow very slow, and you don't. So anyway, maintenance demands are something to consider. So we'll get a little bit deeper into some of this next week.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, well, we hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas holiday this past week, and we're getting ready for the big New Year's celebration and keeping your plants safe during this cold snap that we're having. Thank you again, Mike, with The Garden Line. He's here every week on Tuesdays. It's great to have you.
Oh, Nick, Happy New Year to you.
All right, Happy
New
Year.
Be safe.